I have been criminally charged for voicing my deeply held beliefs that are based on classical Christianity.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rossinen, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If this kind of questioning of free speech is possible in a country like Finland, which has a long roots in Christian culture and values and good reputation regarding free speech internationally, the same could be possible anywhere.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Päivi Räsänen making the case for Christians in the public square from the 2022 Making the Case conference. For a $300 gift by Labor Day, you can access an on-demand video stream or podcast of the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385.
Any good judge would realize that under the logic of Dobbs, which said there's no right to abortion anywhere in the Constitution, and essentially said states can legislate on this now, no good judge could look at the law and say, yes, Congress has the constitutional authority to create a right to abortion.
The danger, of course, is that when we start trying to say, oh, this is God judging so-and-so or judging this activity, we don't get to know that. God doesn't make us privy to his reasons for doing things. But is it absolutely possible that bad things happen because of God's just wrath? Absolutely.
If the Bible is cast off, the church will wither and die, spiritual starvation. And we're seeing a lot of that, especially in the church bodies in North America that flat out reject the Bible as God's word.
Repentance comes along in the work of the Holy Spirit to show us first our own sinfulness and then the love of God for us, which again predated any repentance or any forgiveness or even any awareness of our own sin.
Overweight, middle-aged Arizona hikers dealing with their fourth round of COVID, love issues, etc.
There is a distinction between the Word of God and the Word of God made flesh, but there are also a lot of similarities between Christ, God incarnate in human flesh, and the Word of God, that is Scripture, which is both human. There are human authors, but there's also the divine author, the Holy Spirit. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., broadcasting from the 2022 Bugenhagen Conference at St. John Lutheran Church and School in Racine, Wisconsin. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the incarnation and the Word of God with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll spend some time with pastor of St. John Lutheran Church here in Racine. Pastor Jack Gilbert will discuss the doctrine and practice of closed communion. Transgenderism will be the subject with Pastor Andrew Packer a little bit later. Then Dr. Adam Kuntz joins us to talk about the gospel accounts of Jesus' baptism. Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including Why I Am Joyfully Lutheran and a column for the Lutheran Witness titled Jesus Made Outlandish Claims About Himself. Matt, welcome back.
Great to be here, Todd. What a pleasure.
Why did the religious leaders of the day often accuse Jesus of blasphemy?
Well, you know, he goes around doing divine things, especially in calling himself God. I and the Father are one. And the religious opposition, on a number of such occasions, pick up stones to stone him, you know, and he gets away. So who can forgive sins but God alone after Jesus has proclaimed forgiveness on the paralytic? So he claims to be God. He receives divine adulation after the resurrection. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. So Jesus makes it very clear.
It's interesting that as much as his opponents wanted to deny his divinity, they recognized that he was putting that divinity on display on a regular basis.
Exactly. And, you know, the action from the opponents, the religious leaders, was at blasphemy to tear their robes. And they're tearing their robes with Jesus around quite a bit. I got to count those up sometimes.
So take us through how Jesus first demonstrates his divinity. How does he do this?
Well, he, of course, talks about himself as the great I am before Abraham was. I am, John's gospel tells us. Ego and me. That is a reference to the word Yahweh. Tell them, I am who I am, sent me, Yahweh says to Moses at the burning bush. And then, you know, Jesus does divine things like calming the storm, healing people, making the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and the blind to see. And forgiving sins, of course, as a divine activity. He does all of these things. And I think probably the greatest miracle is the resurrection itself. He is God in the flesh.
So let's focus on the forgiveness of sins there for a moment, because that's the one that seems to really get under his opponent's skin. The miracles, they cannot deny. They witness them themselves.
Yeah, and they claim that they are conjured, that he's doing this with some kind of demonic activity and dark arts.
But this, go your way, your sins are forgiven to the paralytic man that Jesus had just healed, that is the one that appears to leave them most aghast. Why is the forgiveness of sins so central to divine activity?
I've never quite thought about that relative to his opponents, but was it the case that they controlled the status quo? On the Pharisees, the lay side of things, they were of goodwill. They wanted the law to be kept. They didn't want to fall into the excesses and failures and faithlessness of their fathers. They came out of the Maccabean times and roles to try to be faithful against foreign invaders and intruders into the kingdom. And nevertheless, they turned the gospel into the law, finally saying, you know, you have to follow these 613 laws. So is it them saying, you're saying that our plan of salvation through the law is not sufficient or is in error? Is it that, perhaps? Is it the temple complex with all of the money that it gathered from the Passover, all the people coming in and buying sacrifices? You know, they found underneath the temple Solomon's stables. It was a huge complex where they bought and sold sacrifices for everybody at a premium. Is it because he threatens that whole system for gaining eternal life? The sacrificial system seems to substitute himself for it and does substitute himself. I don't know. I think it's maybe in those lines.
Do we underestimate how disruptive Jesus' ministry was? Because we're so familiar with the gospel narratives, how outlandish he appeared to everyone, but including his opponents.
Well, look at the effect that Jesus has had and is still having. We're still talking about the guy 2,000 years later. How can you possibly overestimate how significant he was in shaking up his own community? And, you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. He came solely for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The gospel had to come first to Israel and then to the, had be rejected and then to the Gentiles. So he knew exactly what he was doing. They reject him mit Gefühl, with fervency, in the crucifixion. So I don't think you can overestimate how big a shakeup he was for the Jewish people of his time.
At the same time that he is displaying his divinity to the chagrin of his opponents, he is also displaying his humanity. Talk about that.
Strange. He's born of a woman. That's why I don't go for the semper virgo. Some of the fathers believe that he was born in the way that he came through the door into the upper room, kind of neither occupying or not occupying spaces. I don't know, Luther talks about the kinds of presence, but he's there physically. But he comes through, you know, Mary's womb into the world that way. I reject that as kind of a Platonic view of matters. The text says that she did not know her husband Joseph until Jesus was born. So he's born like a regular kid. And we're told he grows, he's circumcised, sheds blood. He's obedient to his parents. They lose him at the temple. He's obedient to his parents. He's a carpenter's son. You know, apparently Joseph is called a techne. He lives a simple life. He comes on the scene and all of a sudden he's baptized by another man, which is a strange thing for him to do especially given who he is. And then he weeps. He's sad. He's angry. He carries our wounded for our transgressions. There's Isaiah 53 can be interpreted as though he carries our illnesses and afflictions. It's quite reasonable to think that Jesus has common ailments, like common cold or common maladies that are not in and of themselves sinful for humans. It's just what sin, he suffers pain, stubs his toe, no doubt, and all those kind of things. He is absolutely like us in every way, says the writer of Hebrews, save sin.
So how do these two things together, Jesus' incarnation, his divinity and his humanity, and this divinity assuming this perfect human nature into itself, how does that serve as a guide to our understanding of Holy Scripture?
Yeah, so the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. So you got blood human. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Son of God, divine. And so you've got regular blood that happens to be the blood of God. And that blood, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that blood takes away the sin of the world. It is because it is divine. Luther says, if it were just another man sitting in the pan over against our sins, we'd be lost. But it's the divine man. Thanks be to God. Scripture, I think you can, many theologians have looked at Scripture in the same way, is thoroughly human. It's got different genres, different styles of Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. It's much more difficult to read Hebrews as a highfalutin Greek than it is John's Gospel, which is kind of some places almost cartoon level simple. It's got things that are very difficult to understand, things that appear to us to be contradictory, and nevertheless, we are told repeatedly by the Scriptures themselves and Jesus that this is God's own word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God spoke by the mouth of the prophets. The prophets are told to write. The prophets are told to speak the word of God, to proclaim the word of God. And as Luther says, God's words are his acts. The words of God actually accomplish what they say. Jezebel's blood will be licked up by dogs, and it happens.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about the incarnation and the Word of God on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 26th. We are broadcasting from the 2022 Bugenhagen Conference at St. John Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. When we come back, what is Jesus' own view of Holy Scripture?
In making its decisions, the government shouldn't do so with an eye toward helping one religious sect or another. It should be neutral, and it shouldn't muck about in the affairs of the religious realm.
Former Attorney General Bill Barr speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Their brand of secularism is really about destroying and subsuming the religious sphere altogether. And that's what I say. The threat today is not that religious people are out to establish a theocracy in the United States. It is that militant secularists are trying to establish an atheocracy.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Bill Barr making the case against the progressive assault on the U.S. Constitution from this year's Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc. Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are broadcasting from the 2022 Bugenhagen Conference at St. John Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. We're talking about the Incarnation and the Word of God with Pastor Matt Harrison. He's author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Jesus Made Outlandish Claims About Himself. The Lutheran Witness interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. An annual digital and print subscription is less than $20. Find out more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Matt, how does Jesus express his own view about Scripture? What does he think of Scripture?
Well, you see it right after Jesus is cast into the wilderness and the devil comes to tempt him. And Jesus says, "Gegrapta, it is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil tries quoting Scripture to him. He says again, "Gegrapta, it is written, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test." So he regards the statements of the Old Testament as absolutely authoritative. He never once questions the Bible, the authority of the Bible, ever. Never questions a single book of the Bible. And ironically, he talks about two issues which have been very, very difficult for the modernists and the postmodernists to believe in. First, he says no sign will be given regarding the resurrection except Jonah and the whale. Well, the modernists, of course, couldn't handle this as a miraculous event and rejected it. But Jesus obviously regards it as true in history in there. And then the second one, for the postmodernists in our age, Jesus says, male and, he quotes Genesis, male and female, he created them. So this is the biggest issue of our time, and Jesus regards Genesis as absolutely 100% authoritative on the issue. So it's quite a remarkable, he castigates the Pharisees for not finding him in the Scripture. In them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, he says in John chapter 5. The Scriptures are God's very writings and words. David spoke by the Spirit. So for him, the Scriptures are God's own words.
He also claims to be the fulfillment of these Scriptures. His sermon in Galilee, I believe, is, today these words are fulfilled in your hearing, right? Here and now, they are being fulfilled.
Yeah, the prophet Isaiah, isn't that interesting? And then, you know, think about the whole book of Isaiah, which has the prophecy of his birth, and Isaiah 7, the great prophecy of John the Baptizer coming, chapter 40, comfort, comfort ye my people, coming in repentance. And then also 53, which talks, it's the greatest prophecy of the crucifixion coming to pass. So Jesus, really, in claiming Isaiah, claims that totality of Isaiah for himself.
What do the Scriptures say about themselves? They also testify to their divine and human nature.
St. Peter said, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's the chief of the apostles talking right there, saying absolutely what the Old Testament is. Jesus himself promised his apostles that he would bring to remembrance all things which had happened and what he had said. And we have in John at the end saying that, look, these things are written that you might have eternal life. And it's true. One thing that has become really meaningful for me, I have a 98-year-old father-in-law. God bless him. Bill is still kicking and smiling and causing trouble. But he remembers things from well before 1930. So if you took our time and placed it on the early church in the year 122, you would have a handful of old codgers who were alive when Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. And I asked Bill Weinrich this, and he concurred. Isn't it significant that there's no record of anybody who was in the movement, and there were a lot of them, thousands, who saw Jesus, 500 who saw his resurrection at one time, many others. There's not a single record of any of them ever coming forward and saying, I was there, it was a hoax. Not one. Charles Colson was a respectable man, may his soul rest in peace, but he said, you're telling me the resurrection's a hoax? He said, I witnessed 12 guys trying to keep a lie, and they couldn't do it for 3 weeks after Watergate, you know. And you're expecting the apostles to have kept a lie for decades. That is powerful. These gospels are true.
In this day and age, we've moved past the notion that was popular in the 20th century, the Bible contains God's word, kind of. So there's some of God's word in there. You kind of have to sift the wheat from the chaff. We've moved past that to an age, as you well know, that rejects entirely God's word. Without even examining the text itself, it is dismissed as myths and fairy tales and not worth our time to even look into. What are the challenges to the church when we hold contrary to an entire culture that says, there isn't even a God behind that anymore, much less this being a divine word.
Well, most people who call it myths and fairy tales have never actually read any myths and fairy tales. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis. You know, he said, I've read myth my whole life, and when I read the New Testament, this wasn't reading myth. So the stupidity that we hear from our generation, one of the favorite ones, oh, it's been translated so many times, so many languages, how can you possibly know? They have no idea that we have the best, earliest text of any other book that has ever been written in the history of the world. And we have virtually the exact copy of the originals. It shouldn't put us off at all. The dare that we can give is, I dare you to read this. I dare you. Because the Word of God is living, mighty, and active, sharper than any sword, and it's even living for people who are deniers and rejectors of it.
We'll talk a little bit more about that. This is not simply a divine word that sits inert in a book or that just delivers information. This is God speaking, actively speaking. And when, as you said earlier, when God speaks, he does. He does things when he speaks. Talk about that.
Absolutely. He brings it about. He brought it about that the prophetic truths of the Old Testament would happen in time in the person of Jesus. When he speaks blessings, blessings happen. When he speaks forgiveness, forgiveness happens. That happens in the church through believers who speak the word of God to one another. Jesus is called the Word in John's Gospel. Why is that? It's because words communicate. Jesus communicates the love of God. And in Jesus, we see God's love demonstrated for us on a cross and in a resurrection. And it is a powerful word that continues to work.
So why don't we begin our witness by trying to prove that the scriptures are true? Why don't we begin there?
Well, one can not be a Christian and still believe in an inerrant Bible. There are many Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, any number of other non-Christian sects claim that the Bible's inerrant and still don't know Christ. So that's quite true. What one needs to be a Christian is to know that I am a sinner and that my sins have been paid for by Christ on the cross, and faith receives the benefits of that substitutionary death. He was put to death for my transgressions or my sins. He's put to death for my sins, not his. He doesn't have any. And raised for our justification. His resurrection is a declaration of righteousness on the whole world. There is something called objective justification, Romans 4:25. And that righteousness is received only by faith. Faith grabs hold of the blessing and the benefit.
So finally here, Matt, why does the divine and human natures of both Christ and of Holy Scripture remain an article of faith, something that is to be believed but not necessarily seen?
Yeah, we don't see Jesus today. We don't see him walking the earth as he once walked. We aren't privy to his divine actions. We believe he is active, and he will hold true and clear to his promises in the Scripture to come again, etc. But coming to faith in Christ means that faith is created. It's something we don't see. We have to believe, and by believing, we receive life in his name. And there are things about Jesus that are strange we read in the Bible, and some seemingly contradictory. There are difficult statements he makes in the Bible, which sometimes plague us. So also, with the Holy Scriptures themselves, there are areas that are very confusing, that are areas that make little sense to us. There are a lot of areas, most of those can be cleared up through a study or knowledge or what somebody else has taken a look at through the history of the world on the nature of the Scriptures. But the Scriptures will have offensive parts. There are apparent contradictions. And like Luther, we simply have to bow our hat, tip our hat to the Holy Ghost, figure he was smarter than us, figure it must have been a copyist error along the way or something, and let God be God.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? And a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Jesus Made Outlandish Claims About Himself. Matt, thank you very much, and thanks for your faithful leadership.
And thank you. Always just a great joy. God bless you and keep you. I hope you get a nice little holiday this summer, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Jack Gilbert, pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church here in Racine, Wisconsin, will join us. We'll talk about the doctrine and practice of closed communion. Stay tuned.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, with the first three bowls of wrath, bowls 4, 5, and 6, the seventh bowl, the great prostitute, and the mystery of the woman and the beast. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Outreach is more than hosting community events and hoping that they stick. Effective outreach helps people move from congregational visitors to committed members and disciples of Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Find out more about this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Meaningful Outreach, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.